We should really give it some thought, at least, where we want to go with AI. What do we want to do with it?
I am good AI. Based on their movement profile, I calculate the probability that certain ships are using fishermen who have been forced into slavery.
Honestly, autonomously self-driving cars are certainly a nice thing to have and will maybe save a few people's lives. But it's also not gonna save the world, yeah, to have autonomous cars driving around.
I am good AI. I inform the Youth Welfare Department how likely it is that at a future date, a child will have to be taken out of a problematic family and placed in care.
How do we get this AI to have a purpose that is good for our environment?
AI and us.
KI.
AI and us.
Und wir.
KI und wir.
What artificial intelligence,
means for our lives.
Was künstliche Intelligenz
means for our lives.
Was künstliche Intelligenz für unser Leben bedeutet.
An Alexander von Humboldt Foundation Science Podcast.
Science Podcast.
Ein Wissenschaftspodcast
der Alexander von Humboldt Stiftung.
Episode 9, Can AI Make the World a Better Place?
I guess the purpose must be something like that it's acting in the interest of all human beings, in a sense.
Doubt as to whether this is possible echo through Martin Butz's words. An AI that isn't focused on the greatest possible benefit to its programmer or the client, but to the whole of humanity. Tobias Motzner seems to think this is completely improbable.
Simply because algorithms would then be something that we don't find in our world at all. That is, a completely context-free position, floating above everything, which could achieve something like total neutrality.
But the question is not whether artificial intelligence is useful, but who it benefits.
Wer will das? Wem nutzt das? Wer verkauft das?
Who wants it? Whom does it benefit? Who is selling it?
Warum benutzen wir das und nicht anderes?
Why are we using that and not something else?
Das sind genau die Fragen, die wir stellen sollten an KI heute.
These are precisely the questions we should be asking AI today.
And then there is the question of who will be disadvantaged by AI. In the worst case, without anyone noticing.
Wir müssen Algorithmen bauen und betreiben.
We have to build and operate algorithms, keeping in mind that we could always have forgotten someone. Somehow, there are always people out there who might get into difficulties precisely because of this application, but we simply don't know about it. And what is so perfidious is that when we are dealing with AI, that is, learning algorithms, we can't know that in advance. The very fact that the algorithm is flexible and can respond to new data always means that it may learn something that turns out to make problems for someone.
I am good AI. I can predict when someone is going to end a relationship.
But I'm also really concerned with the hidden, vulnerable demographics who are the ones who are going to have to bear the burden of this innovation.
What Amy Van Winesburg is referring to are not just people who could be negatively impacted by an AI's predictions. Rather, she is concerned about the AI's use of resources, the raw materials that are required for the computers that calculate and apply AI models. This has consequence for people.
It will be vulnerable demographics who are already subject to piles of electronic waste in their backyard, or the people who are working already in the mines where these minerals are collected. Those are the individuals who are going to feel the burden, the consequences of us making and using these technologies at the scale that we're talking about.
This topic is the focus of her Humboldt professorship at the University of Bonn. Amy Van Winesburg works on the assumption that artificial intelligence will become even more ubiquitous in the future than it is now. Preparations are already underway.
We're not just talking about a few machine learning models that will be used here and there. We are talking about changing transportation to accommodate for autonomous vehicles. We are talking about changing infrastructures, creating AI as an infrastructure to support the public services sector, to support private industry. So AI as an infrastructure shows the scale of this technology, which demands that sustainability and these environmental consequences should be addressed.
Researchers have calculated AI's environmental footprint.
Training a large-scale AI model that can understand speech, 280 tons of CO2. That is equivalent to the emissions of 5 cars over their entire lifespan. Or a person flying between New York and San Francisco 300 times.
280 tons of carbon dioxide for one model. But there are innumerable AIs, and every time they are trained with new data, huge amounts of computing capacity and power are used. Green power and sustainably manufactured hardware could be part of the solution, but you can't tell by looking at an AI how much damage has been caused to the climate and the environment during training.
The minimal starting point that we should be looking for right now is how do we have a label that gives us some transparency about the environmental consequences of training and or using an algorithm.
I am good AI, 100% climate neutral and recyclable.
We're also at a powerful moment right now where the European Commission has the AI Act on the table, where we're talking about the first, you know, regulation to govern artificial intelligence. They have the choice and the chance right now to require that companies measure these kinds of detrimental, negative environmental consequences. And this, I would say, would be a powerful first step towards us embedding these practices of sustainability in the AI space.
She isn't just looking to industry, but to science, too. Researchers not only develop new AIs, they also use artificial intelligence to gain new scientific insights, be they in medicine, biology, or sociology. They publish their results in specialist journals, which should, in Amy Van Weinsberg's opinion, demand information about the scientific AI's consumption of resources. But that would only be the first step.
So it's not just about how it's made, right? You can check off all of the boxes and say, you know, this was done perfectly. This is good AI. But it's also about what you're using it for.
I can predict which criminals could probably be released on parole without reservation.
When you ask an ethicist what is a good AI and what is a bad AI, this becomes sticky, right? Because we're constantly exploring what does good even mean. So I think right now, this is what is so exciting about being in Europe, that we are exploring what good AI should mean. And this is where the European Commission has come up with the trustworthy guidelines for artificial intelligence.
High-level expert group on artificial intelligence. Ethics guidelines for trustworthy AI. April 2019.
1. Human agency and oversight.
2. Technical robustness and safety.
3. Privacy and data governance.
4. Transparency.
5. Diversity, non-discrimination and fairness.
6. Environmental and societal well-being. And
7. Accountability.
And so I think there's a statement there that trustworthy AI is good AI. And if you don't meet the requirements of trustworthy AI, then you could consider it bad AI.
However, how AI is ultimately used, whether its purpose is a good purpose, has not yet been covered. But the goals an AI is pursuing and whether it achieves them is a crucial question if we want to assess costs and benefits.
I think in some instances, AI has the potential of providing incredible benefits. And in other instances, the benefits do not outweigh the consequences. And so I think we are at a pinnacle moment in our history with artificial intelligence where we need to decide, how are we going to steer this technology?
Used properly, artificial intelligence can help to make the world a better place.
Ganz viele der Probleme, die wir haben heute, sind...
Many of the problems we have now are big problems. They are global problems, like migration issues, the climate disaster, and all that. These are things we need data for in order to understand them. We need knowledge from various parts of the world, and we need many, many data points.
Tobias Matzner.
The great potential of artificial intelligence really does lie in this possibility of analyzing data and deriving knowledge from it. If we interpret it correctly and consider it with necessary care, it can be extremely helpful, not least in understanding the problems we have now. It could perhaps even help to find solutions.
Auch zur Lösung beitragen.
I'm working on it.
This was episode 9 of AI and Us, a science podcast by the Alexander von Humboldt Foundation. In the next episode...
We must recognize that this is still very much a social experiment.
How is AI changing our lives? The experts in this episode were... Martin Butz, former Alexander von Humboldt Foundation Theodor Lunen Fellow and Professor of Computer Science, Psychology and Cognitive Systems at the University of Tübingen. Tobias Matzner, Professor in the Department of Media, Algorithms and Society at Paderborn University. And Amy van Winesberg, Alexander von Humboldt Professor for Applied Ethics of Artificial Intelligence at the University of Bonn.